Okay, let's pray. Let us pray and let's prepare our hearts for the word of the Lord. Father, we thank you that we come, Lord God, not because of our works. We come to you, Lord God, because of your work. You are holy and we are sinful. You are altogether lovely and we are altogether sinful. You are the only holy. We are also, Lord God, only sinful. And the chasm, Lord God, that separates us from you, Lord God, is so great that even one step, Lord God, would fail, Lord God, because you are altogether and perfectly holy. And yet, because of what Christ has done for us, he is our bridge. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one could come to the Father except through me. And we believe that, Lord God. We affirm, Lord God, that our Savior indeed is our Jesus Christ. That what he has done for us, Lord God, is that he reconciled us to you. And Lord, woe to us, Lord God, if we put our trust on our own merit. Woe to us, O Lord God, if we put our confidence in man's work. And blessed is the one whose sins are forgiven. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are covered. And that is a truth, Lord God, we stand and we affirm, Lord God. That is the gospel, Lord. That is the good news. And as a church, Lord God, we pray that we will continually, Lord God, be put in a position, Lord God, where we appreciate you, Lord. Put us, Lord God, in a position where we will not be shaken. We will not go, Lord God, to our left or to our right, Lord God. That we will not be ashamed, Lord God, of this good news, this great news, this holy news, because of what Christ has done for us. And so, Lord God, we stand not because of us, but we stand because of Christ. Salamat po, Panginoon. And as we again, Lord God, together as a church, examine, review, remind, appreciate your word, your gospel, Lord God, we pray that all the more we will worship you. All the more, Lord God, we will serve you. All the more, Lord God, we will participate in the work, your work, in extending your kingdom, not to this city, Lord God, but also, Lord God, to all nations. For your name's sake, Lord God, for your name's sake, and for the good of your church. Father, please, Lord God, guide us. Give us wisdom. Set aside any encumbrance or any sin, Lord God, that entangles us, and continue, Lord God, to work out, Lord God, our salvation by deepening us in your truth, in your word. We thank you. O Holy Spirit, be our teacher this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Again, the title of the message that we are about to study is based from Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 30. So if you have your Bibles with you, kindly open them. And may I request everyone to please stand as a way of respect as we listen, as we read the Word of God. Please stand with me and let us together read the Word of the Most High. This is the Word of the God who created us. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will remain forever. Acts 11, verse 19 to 30. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. Verse 20 of Acts 11. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number who believed in turn to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came, he saw the grace of God. He was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. And so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world, and this took place in the days of Claudius. And so the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Praise the Lord for the reading of His Word. Please be seated. Salamat po sa inyo pong pagpa-participate po. You see, brethren, the book of Acts is considered the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It is the book of the Acts of the Holy Spirit. Lest we think that these apostles or these disciples who came from Galilee, whom the Jews despise, will there be any good from Galilee or Capernaum? Lest we think that this amazing book, amazing work, came from the effort, came from the work of this fisherman, nagkakamali po tayo. This book is an account of the work and power of the Holy Spirit in and through the apostles. It was considered even by the writer of this book, Luke, that these apostles who were fishermen, at the initial passages of the book of Acts, sabi pa nga ng mga Hudyo, mga lasenggo yung mga yan. Umaga pa lang, nakatoma na, tamado na sila, nadaya na ba? And yet, Luke testified that these people turn the world upside down. Not because of their intelligence, not because of their effort, not because of their position in society, but because of the work of the Holy Spirit. Oh, this book also is a book where the Lord started to fulfill the commission command of Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. This is the book where God is already unfolding how the gospel will spread, not beginning from Jerusalem until to the ends of the earth in Matthew 28, to go and make disciples. But I believe also that this book, the book of Acts, is also a book that tells us about the growth or the expansion of the church. It is the book where God grows His church, about God, how God matures His church from a fledgling church, from a church who at first, will we go to the Gentiles? Will we go to those pagans? Until that point wherein the Apostle Paul told the believers, we will go to the ends of the earth. Doon ho natin makikita. And I believe po, mga kapatid, one of the requirements, I believe, of being a growing individual or a growing Christian, you have to read the book of Acts. You have to read the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts will tell us paano nag-umpisa ang ating iglesia at saan po dapat tayo tumayo bilang po mga mananampalataya. At yan po ang book of Acts. And so, this passage that we read, no, will tell us, will narrate before us the progress of the early church. No, at least a glimpse or a portion on how the Lord showed to us the progress of a local church. At kung titignan po natin ang ating iglesia, ang ating pong pamilya dito sa Guiding Light, I believe po, yan po ang nangyari po sa atin. But still, kailangan po nating mapalalahanan. Dahil maaaring may mga iba sa atin ay, nga, sana nga ba tayo? Ano dapat ang expectation natin? Ano ba dapat mangyari sa ating iglesia? Lalong-lalo na sa iba't ibang aspeto ng ating buhay pamilya. This is my heart, brethren, not only as part of the missions board, but this is the heart of a worker of the Lord. This is the heart of a person where we wanted His name to be glorified, not just in our city, but even to the ends of the earth, to the nations. Every time I come up here into this pulpit, this is the call to every one of us. Samahan niyo po tayo, samahan po niyo kami. Irali po natin ang kwento kung paano kumilos ang Banal na Espiritu. At ito po ang aklat po na ito. If you look at your Bibles, brethren, just a survey, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, there is the outline of this passage or of this book. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You will testify about me," says the Lord, "starting in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the end of the earth." Yes, there's a sequence where in the story of the church, in church history, the gospel started in Jerusalem. Kasi doon naman po nag-umpisa ang tinatawag po nating Pentecost. And then, unti-unti, nag-spread out ang Ebanghelyo sa Judea and then in Samaria and of course, through the Apostle Paul to the ends of the earth. Yes, I believe that when Luke wrote itong Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it is also a simultaneous ministry. We can do ministry cross-culturally while doing our local outreach here in Baguio. Yes, we believe that. Yes, we continually uphold that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it tells us how the progress of this gospel reached out to the ends of the earth. We know that in Acts chapter 1 hanggang sa Acts chapter 7, it started with the Jerusalem church, where the main character is none other than the Apostle Peter. Si Pedro po ang patuloy na kumikilos, siyempre kasama po niya ang ibang mga apostol. But ultimately, in Acts chapter 8, because of a persecution, some of the brethren in Jerusalem went to Samaria and even Judea. And one of the prominent workers of the church at that time is the name Philip. And we know Philip, in Acts chapter 8, he reached out to the people of Samaria. As he went to Samaria, he met an Ethiopian eunuch. Before po, pag sinabing Ethiopia, it doesn't mean yung political country ngayon na Ethiopia. It means almost the whole of Africa. Non-Jew, a pagan, but Philip preached Christ to this person. And some believe that that Ethiopian eunuch became one of the first bishops in Africa because of the work of the gospel through this person. And then we will see in Acts chapter 9, wherein God is transitioning this gospel expansion beginning in Jerusalem now to the ends of the earth by the conversion of the greatest missionary ever. His name is the Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul. Di po ba? In Acts chapter 9, he was going to Damascus with the permission of the high priest at ang kanya pong intensyon is kaladkarin lahat ng mga Kristiyano. Pag nakakita, mukhang mabait. Di po. No? Pag nakita ho niya na Kristiyano yan, then he will drag this person to go back to Jerusalem para litisin. Worse, hindi ka naaabot sa Jerusalem dahil papatayin ka na on the spot. And so Saul, as he went to the road to Damascus, Jesus himself appeared to him. And he asked Saul, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Yes, brethren, the specific principle there is this. Whenever we attack the church, it is attack against Christ himself. But part of his calling, see Paul, because as an apostle, he has to see the living Christ. So Jesus resolved, deliberately appeared himself to Apostle Saul or to Apostle Paul. And at that point, sabi po ng ating Panginoon kay Ananias, when Saul was blinded because of the brightness of the glory of Christ, pagdating po nila sa Damascus, sinabi po ni Jesus kay Ananias, "Ananias, puntahan mo si Saul." At ano ang reaksyon ni Ananias? "No way! Mamamatay tao yan! Alam niya naman po yung nangyayari." Para bang hindi alam ng Panginoon? At syempre, Panginoon yan eh. Actually, in Acts chapter 9, there were two appearances. The appearance of Christ to Paul and the appearance of Christ to Ananias to confirm Saul. At sabi ng Panginoon kay Saul, kay Ananias, "Ananias, go to Saul. Minister to him because he is my chosen instrument. For he will stand before Gentiles. He will stand before authorities for my name's sake." And on that point in time, there is the fulfillment of Acts 1:8, from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And that is Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 10, there's the incident of Peter with Cornelius. Nung panahon po noon, magkwento lang po ako, okay lang po sa inyo, na-miss ko po kayo eh. Okay lang po ba sa inyo? Kung kayo po ay nagsusulat po ng libro, ngayon po, during our time, ang dami-daming papel. Di ba? Sa bahay namin, ang daming papel. During those times, scroll, was so precious. And in Acts chapter 10 and Acts chapter 11, listen to me first. There was an incident where God gave a vision to Cornelius and another vision to Peter. And it was mentioned not once, not twice, but thrice. Okay? Thrice. Kung si Luke nagtitipid ng papel, si Lucas na gumagawa po itong Book of Acts, kasi marami pa siguro siyang kwento paano po niya ipakita ang grasya ng Panginoon, he could have written that story just once. Pero he wrote that thrice. Why? Because the intention of Luke is this: the gospel is already open even to the Gentiles. And that is the most striking message at that time. Hindi na ho para ho sa Hudyo ang pagiging Panginoon ni Kristo. The Lordship of Christ is open to all, to those who would believe in Him. Even you coming from a pagan Gentile or a religious Jew, you are welcome to the grace of God. And so, Luke deliberately put that story thrice po. Because that is the emphasis, that's important, that's valuable, that's even the call of the church. That's Acts chapter 10 and starting in Acts chapter 11. And pagdating po ng Acts chapter 11, that's our passage. Amen? So are you with me? Are you still with me, mga kapatid? And so in Acts chapter 11, God now chose a pagan city to be a gospel-centered launching pad of the kingdom of God to the Gentiles. And that is the church of Antioch. That's the church of Antioch. Well, now, brethren, we might want to ask, where is Antioch now? Where is Antioch now? You see, Antioch is in Pisidia, Syria. Antioch is in Syria. Kung kayo po andito ang Jerusalem, akyat lang po kayo, nandoon po ang Antioch. It was considered one of the largest cities in the first century Roman, accommodating about 100,000 to 300,000 persons. And there was also a group of Jewish settlement there. And in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7, it tells us that there's one person who came from Antioch who was chosen to be a deacon during the early life of the church. His name was Nicholas. No, in Acts chapter 6, verse 1 to 7. Now, the question is, how important or how significant the church of Antioch? Gagawa po tayo ng profiling ngayon pong araw po na ito. How significant the Church of Antioch in church history. In Acts 11 verse 26, in the Church of Antioch, there is the first ever call for the believers of Christ to be called Christians. Unang lugar kung saan tinawag ang mga Kristiyano ay lugar po ng Antioch. And brethren, it was not a good call, or it was not something that pagka tinawag ka ng Christians noon ay, okay yan. Christians belonging to a Christ. That's actually a call of mockery. Okay? That's a call of mockery at that time. Because to belong to Christ means persecution. At walang tao po sa kanyang sa tamang pag-iisip na yakapin ang Kristyanismo dahil alam niya, ikakamatay niya ito. And so when other people would call us Christians nung panahon na ito, it was a call of mockery. In the Church of Antioch also, again, in Acts 13, it was the launching pad of the missionary enterprise of Paul. In Acts chapter 13, we will look at that passage later on. It was also in Acts 15, listen to me, the sending church or the local church of Paul and Barnabas was the Church of Antioch. Now, the Church of Antioch was so influential that after the Jerusalem Council, the first major council of church, of Christian church before, one of the copies of that decision that Gentiles should not be circumcised for the sake of Christian fellowship, one of the copies of that decision was sent to the Church of Antioch, signifying that that church was so important in the early church. Di ho ba? Mahalaga po kasi po yung decision po na yon in Acts 15. At the same time also, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 12, the Church of Antioch is the place or that church where Paul rebuked Peter. Galatians chapter 2. Nangyari po in Galatians chapter 2, na nung si Pedro o nang si Pablo, nirebuke niya si Pedro, nangyari po yon sa Antioch. You know the story, di po ba? No, nung wala pa po yung mga Jewish Christians led by James, masarap kumain si Pedro kasama ng mga Gentiles. Gustong-gusto po niya ng adobo at pinikpikan o ano man po ganun. Pero nung dumating po si James, biglang umiwas po si Pedro. Na sinasabi niya, oh, you could have fellowship with me if you will go through the rite of circumcision. Telling the person, having Christ is not enough for you to have unity with me. So what Christ's sacrifice did was insufficient. It is not acceptable. Then, yun ang ginawa po ni Pedro. It is a matter of gospel. It is not a matter of diet lang. And so, Paul rebuked Peter in his face. Imagine you po, no? The great Peter was rebuked by Paul. Kasi ganun ho katindi ang issue po ng gospel. Nangyari po yon sa lugar po ng Antioch. Now, the question is this. How did the Lord use this pagan city turn into a gospel community? How do we know the pattern of church growth? In this passage that we are about to study, how can we say that a church is maturing? How do we know that our church is growing? Do we look for statistics? Ah, ang dami-dami nag-a-attend. Growing church yan. Do we need to look at the numbers of programs that we need to fulfill? Ah, ang dami-dami nating mga pinagbibisihan, nagmamature yan. Or do we need to look at the stages how the church matures? Brethren, if you look at our passage this morning, these are life stages of a growing church. And there are principles that we need to be reminded of as we apply these principles in our life as a guiding lighters. Sana po makita po ninyo mga prinsipyo na ito. Ma-assess po natin ano ang ginagawa po natin sa ating mga ministries, sa ating pong gawain po sa pag-ibanghelyo, or even sa iyong perspective bilang isang individual na Kristiyano. Am I just busy with my personal growth? Or am I also involved with the kingdom work as a whole by God? And so I would like to share to you 3 points based from this story, 3 sins, 3 points. How do we look at the stages, how the Lord matures a church? First is this. The first point is this. The church stands in the gospel. The church stands in the gospel. We will look at the formation of a genuine church. We will look at the foundation of a local church. We will look at the establishment of a biblical church. And that church must stand in the gospel. Again, let's read verse 19 to 21. Now those who scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number who believed turned to the Lord. So ano nangyayari po dito? There were those who were scattered because of the persecution. Coming from the Acts 8. No, Acts 8. And the one who led that persecution is none other than Saul. Si Saul po, yung pong namimersecute nung time na yon. At because of the persecution, many of the brethren, many of the believers from Jerusalem went to Judea, went to Samaria, and according sa Acts chapter 11, there were also those who traveled as far as Phoenicia. As far as Phoenicia, as far as Cyprus, and even in Antioch. Oh, those people were Jewish. No? At maaari, hindi pa po nila nababalitaan yung nangyari sa Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 11. Di ba? Kung saan sinabi ng Panginoon, "Now I know that God has no discrimination even to the Gentiles." Walang pinipili, walang tinatangi ang Panginoon, hintil man o Hudyo. Maaaring hindi pa po nila nakita ho yun, narinig yun. And so ito po mga na-scatter po una, mga Hudyo, ang mga nilalapitan po nila para ebanghelyuhan ay walang iba, kapwa Hudyo po pa rin po nila. So they went as far as Phoenicia. So if you have your map in your Bible, if you at the back of your Bible, mayroon po dyan mga mapa. So from Jerusalem, ang Phoenicia ay paangat. Papunta po doon sa dalawahong twin cities po na tinatawag, yung Tyre at yung Sidon. Today, ang mga lugar po na yan ay sa lugar po ng Lebanon. Okay? So malayo po ang kanila pong pinuntaan, umakyat po sila. They went also to Cyprus. Cyprus. Ang Cyprus po ay isa pong island po in the middle of Mediterranean Sea. So lumangoy po sila. No, of course, sumakay po sila ng bangka. Hindi po bangka sa Alaminos, ha? Talagang malalaki po mga bangka. They went. Okay? And also, syempre, to Antioch. And they spoke the word. They spoke the word. Verse 20, some of them also, okay? So imagine po, no? There were men, because of persecution, went to Phoenicia, went to Cyprus, and went to Antioch. At first, these men, because they were Jewish, they tend to, kumbaga, ethnocentric. Yung kanila pong, yung mga Hudyo lang, because of this idea of a political messiah pa rin. No? And so they went, they spoke the word to their Jewish brethren, to their Jewish people also. In verse 20, it says, but there were some of them, can you picture what is happening? There were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch, they now spoke to the Hellenist. When we say Hellenist, okay, these are people who were coming from a Hellenistic culture. Basically, they were pagans. They were Greeks. Mga unbelievers. Mga idolatrous. You know that Greeks were worshippers of so many gods, di ba? Like Artemis, like Apollo, ano man pong mga basa, mababasa ninyo yan sa mga children's book, di ba? These were Greeks. They worshipped different gods. And some of these believers, because of persecution, they also spoke the gospel to the pagans, to the unbelievers. Oh, this man of Cyprus. Oh, that's interesting. Because Cyprus is the birthplace of Barnabas. Okay? Barnabas, you know Barnabas? Hindi pa pastor. Okay, I would like to introduce to you Barnabas. In Acts chapter 4, Barnabas was the Jewish person who sold his properties for the church. His name means the son of scripture. Or sa ibang salin, the son of encouragement. Malalahon ninyo yung pong dalawa, yung mag-asawa na pinatay ng banal na espiritu. Do you know those couple? Si Ananias at si Sapphira. They sold their properties, yung nga lang, nanging back po sila. At nag-lie po sila. There's a contrast, there's a person contrast to what Ananias and Sapphira did. The person naman na iba, talaga hong committed siya sa iglesia, si Barnabas po yun. At si Barnabas, native po siya ng Cyprus. It is probable that Barnabas influenced this man. Itong mga kasamahan niya, yung mga kumbaga katribo niya, na puntahan din yung mga taong kahit hindi mahudyo, ebanghelyuhan. And so, this man who came from Cyprus, they spoke the word of God to the Hellenist, Cyrene. Oh, that place is now what we call Tripoli in Libya. No? Cyrene or Cyrene is the place where the person who, kumbaga, siya po yung who brought the cross of Christ nung si Kristo papunta po siya sa Calvary. You know the story? There's one person na tumulong sa ating Panginoon. Ang pangalan po niya ay si Simon. His name is Simon of Cyrene. And again, brethren, that incident of say, between Christ and Simon was a very important incident na naging mananampalataya siya. And Simon of Cyrene was mentioned in the book of Romans. Meron po siyang dalawang anak na lalaki na naging leader po sa lugar po ng Rome. So, nagkakatagpi-tagpi ang mga katauhan na ito. Are you with me? Nawawala ho ba kayo, mga kapatid? Am I not a good storyteller? And so, that's what happening. So, some of the Jewish men who came from the Jerusalem, they went to Phoenicia, they went to Cyprus, they went to Antioch, they spoke the word of God to their fellow Jews. But some of the men who came from different tribes, but they were converted to Christianity, like Cyrene, could be because of the influence of Simon, and also in Cyprus, because of Barnabas, they now have that burden to go to Antioch and to spoke or to speak the word of the gospel even to the Hellenist. And that is what's happening in the church of Antioch, in the place of Antioch. Ang point ko dito, ang haba-haba, my point here is this. The church of Antioch has been formed upon the proclamation of the gospel. Whether to the Jews or to the Gentiles, these people, these brethren, who were scattered brethren, they did evangelism wherever they go, and of course, they shared the gospel to the people of Antioch. At mga kapatid, you could say na, ay, unfortunate lang talaga nangyari yan. Tsamba lang yan. Kasi nga, kung wala siguro yung persecution, hindi yan lalabas. Hindi, mga kapatid. It was very intentional that Luke actually commented. Look at the comment of Luke in verse 21. Look at your Bibles, brethren. The hand of the Lord was with them. That means that what was happening in the church of Antioch was approved by God Himself. The Lord was at work in the lives of these people. Oh, here's the lesson, brethren. The lesson is this. The gospel should be the church priority. Whether you like it or else, you carry the name of Christ. Whether you live in a country like ours, a free world, you still have to stand in the gospel. The gospel should be the church priority. As a church, we should be concerned primarily with the good news of Jesus Christ and how it affects every area of our life. We must not be preoccupied with politics, even social justice, wherein some churches would say, you are not an influential church because hindi nyo ginagawa itong mga pagtulong na ito. You are not living up to your name as a church. Brethren, the early followers of Jesus were so conscious of the gospel that wherever they go, they could not hide but speak of the gospel with boldness and grace. And brethren, they have done it even out of persecution. Hindi po ba? Kahit mahirap ang buhay, hindi po hadlang at hindi po dahilan o rason na hindi po sila mag-ibanghelyo. I remember one time when we were about to pick up Sister Ice and her daughter. Napunta po kami doon sa may Victory Liner bus terminal. And maagang-maaga po kami. At one time po, nag-park po ako para kumain. And then habang naghihintay, syempre, pinapalipas yung oras. And by the grace of the Lord, talaga po ang Panginoon kumilos. Bakit? Kasi nung dumating po sila si Sir Ice, andun po yung isang kainan po sa tapat, na nasa kabilahong lugar po yung bus terminal. Nung una, ang sabi ko pa nga po, hassle. Okay na yung parking ko. Alam niyo yun? Huwag na ako pumunta doon. Okay na eh. Sila na lang ang tumawid. No? Napaka-gentleman. Sila Sister Ice na lang at mga sila tumawid na lang. Sabi ng aking asawa, there's a lot of parking areas, so you might not go to the other side and doon na lang. And so, okay, sige. Punta ako doon. And while waiting for Sister Ice and her daughter, na syempre kumain pa sila, medyo mahaba pa po yung time, and I had the opportunity, I'm observing one of the guards doon. And napansin ko na mag-isa lang niya, nandun lang siya. And then, syempre, alam niyo naman po, lumabas po ako. At kinausap ko po siya, lang po siya in a very, very casual way. Sir, kumusta? Parang walang pasahero. That's basically a physical conversation. And as our conversation went, I noticed po na malaki po yung kanyang... mayroon pong caterpillar dito sa ulo niya, no? I mean yung parang opera, no? And so, ano nangyari diyan sa ulo mo, sir? And he said, alam niyo po, sir, milagro ang buhay ko. Milagro ang buhay ko. Mm-mm, milagro. Sige nga. Ayan na. And at that point in time, imagine niyo po, no, I was so sluggish in terms of going to the other side. And I realized it was the sovereign hand of the Lord even to reach this person with the gospel. Dahil ganun po ang bungad po niya, then I shared the gospel. And I prayed for him. And sabi ko sa kanya, sir, okay lang ba na one time, kapag nadaan ulit ako dito sa season, I want to have conversation with you, kapit tayo, and then pag-usapan natin yung na-share ko sa iyo. And sabi niya sa akin, I live in Agoo, and... meron po ba kayong church doon? And sabi ko, talaga meron kaming guiding light, Agoo. And maganda yon para talagang matutumo rin, matutunan mo ang salita ng Panginoon. I was so thankful to the Lord, and I was also asking for His forgiveness because of my, yung comfort and my convenience. But that was the time where the Lord has already orchestrated for that person to hear the gospel and that point in time also to rebuke me, for God to rebuke me of my own convenience. My point, brethren, is this. Malit lang ang mundo po natin sa sarili po nating mga comfort. May mas malawak pa, may mas matayog pa na minsan di po natin nare-realize. May mas maganda, may mas talagahong mas nakadakila pa sa Panginoon. I am not saying na yung buhay po natin, yung mga pinagdadaanan natin sa buhay, ay malit lamang yan compared sa sinasabi ko dito. I'm not saying that. Pero madalas po, yung mga bagay na nangyari sa buhay po natin, nagiging dahilan na hindi natin makita kung anong pangangailangan ng mundo. Nakakalimutan natin na may mga bagay na kailangan marinig ng mundo. Amen. Are you getting me? And so, brethren, that indeed our priority. We must not be preoccupied with this, the things of this world, but we must indeed be conscious of the work of God in the gospel, in His truth. The early followers of Jesus were so conscious of the gospel that wherever they go, they could not hide but speak of it with boldness. These men were suffering because of persecution, and yet that did not hinder them to witness for Christ because they understood that the church will be built upon the foundation of the life and work of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is in Jesus Christ." Acts 4, verse 12, nabanggit kanina, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Romans 15, verse 20, "I make it my ambition to preach the gospel." Is it your ambition to preach the gospel? The gospel that changed you, changed your life for all eternity. The gospel that opened your eyes to see, wow, what a wonderful God we have. The gospel that brought you from the kingdom of darkness into the family of light. Bonus pa nga, nilagay ka pa nga sa guiding light. And so, brethren, the church of Antioch stood upon the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ, and so should we. Ulitin ko po. The church of Antioch stood upon the gospel, upon the rock of our salvation, Jesus Christ, and so should we. As a church, we banner the gospel. We must continue to embrace the gospel. And we are doing that. Praise God po. We are grateful to the Lord. We are defending the gospel. We believe the gospel. We live the gospel. We love the gospel. The gospel must be central in our life as a church. Here in this church, well, that is so obvious. That is so clear. We love the gospel. Naririnig niyo palagi po ito. Dami po natin mga opportunities na marinig po natin ang ebanghelyo. And this is a reminder to all of us, in the life of a genuine church, yes, we first embrace the gospel. Praise God, we chose the Lord Jesus Christ. And like the church of Antioch, they live, they heard, they love the gospel, they were built upon the foundation of the gospel, pero hindi po tumigil po doon. They continue, they move forward to their spiritual growth, which will bring us to that next point. And the next point is this. So first, the church stands in the gospel. The second, the church matures in the Word. The church matures in the Word. The church develops as we are being fed with spiritual truth. In Acts 11, verse 22, again, please open your Bibles with me. Acts 11, 22, it says, "The report of this," so the report that there was a thriving church, there was a church who embraced the gospel, "this report came to the ears of the church." That means the Jerusalem church heard about what is happening in Antioch. Okay? It came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. They sent Barnabas. "When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. And a great many people were added to the Lord. And so Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Observe the text, brethren. Barnabas was commissioned by the Mother Jerusalem Church to see the work in Antioch. Or the word, they sent Barnabas, that word sent, came from the word apostoloi. Diyan po natin nakuha yung salitang apostle. They sent Barnabas. So nakita ng Jerusalem Church na may nangyayari po talagang paglago doon sa lugar ng Antioch. Para mas lalo silang tumibay, para mas lalo silang tumatag, they sent their best person, Barnabas. The one who knows how to encourage, because his name means son of encouragement, son of comfort. Eh, sino pa ba ang talaga hong meron po talaga hong panawagan magbigay ho ng comfort? Wala ba kundi si? Tulog na po kayo. Si Barnabas. Okay, so the church of Jerusalem sent Barnabas to the church of Antioch. Ano ang kanya pong gagawin? What will Barnabas do at Antioch? Based in our passage, based from our passage, first is, sabi niya, he saw the grace of God to see the fledgling church, to confirm, meron ba talagang nangyayari? No? Meron ba talagang nangyayaring gospel proclamation dyan? At sabi ng text natin, sabi po doon, he saw the grace of God. I like that phrase, he saw the grace of God. Brethren, listen to me. Whether the work that God entrusted to you in your ministry or in your discipleship, whether the work refers to just 5 people or 50 individuals, still, it is the grace of God. Amen? Kasi sa atin po, we tend to, may nangyari ba dyan? Isa na lang yung dinidisciple niya? Ay, isa na lang? Isa na lang? Talaga bang may prutas ba? I love what Luke penned, what Barnabas saw on that church. He saw not just the people, of course, that's part of it, but he saw the work of God. He saw the work of God. Ano yung mga kapatid, that is something that encourages us and even something that must encourage you with regards to discipleship or gospel proclamation. Naikwento ko na po sa inyo one time. When we first started Alaminos Church Plant doon, it started with just 20 minutes. We will travel from Baguio, madalas kasama ko si Pastor Tabs. Mabiyahe po kami ng 4 hours plus 4 hours, 8 hours, iwan namin yung pamilya namin. Pupunta kami doon and then makikita namin about 10 or 15 people, inaantok pa. At pagbalik namin, makikita namin yung kulto, ang dami-dami nila. At first, parang, wow, Lord, pwede pa ba ito? Kaya pa ba ito? But we believe that this is the work of God. And so we continue by the grace of God. Because the moment you see or you will see, yung mag nakita mo yung work na parang level lang ng statistics, then you will give up. You will give up. And if you look at the fruit of the labor lang, may marami bang nababahaginan dyan? Marami bang mga nadidisciple yan? Wala parang church. Sayang naman yung support namin. Sayang naman yung bigay ko. The moment makita mo, values lang, statistics lang, then you will give up. But I love what Luke penned. Because Barnabas saw God is at work. And so the church sent Barnabas to see the fledgling church. Brethren, the ministry came from the loving and gracious hand of the Lord. This then must teach us that we must always be careful to see ministry as our reward, most especially as a gauge of genuine faithfulness. And so sabi po dyan sa may verse 23, when he came and saw the grace of God, well, God is at work, he rejoiced. He was glad. And he exhorted these brethren to remain faithful in the Lord with steadfast purpose. He encouraged the believers to remain faithful. You see, brethren, yung ginawa po ni Barnabas, what Barnabas did was a work of a shepherd. What this passage tells us or teaches us, this is a model of shepherding and pastoring, or shall we say, discipling. Nabahagi na muna ebanghelyo, and then patatagin mo ngayon sa salita ng Panginoon. Look at the passage again, brethren. Anong ginawa po ni Barnabas? He exhorted them, verse 23, to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Despite persecution, in spite of so many hardship, remain in the Lord with the purpose of glorifying His name. And then in verse 24, a great many people were added to the Lord. Many people added by God to the church. At of course, we know the strategy of Barnabas here. Hindi niya kaya mag-isa. And so ano ang ginawa po niya ngayon? He now went to Tarsus to look for a person who has also the gift to teach believers. And that is none other than Saul. Ang tanong ngayon dyan is, at that time, si Saul naging Kristiyano na. Acts chapter 11 na po ito eh. Naging Christian po si Paul, Acts chapter 9. Yung nga lang po, look at me mga kapatid. Again, another story with Saul. When Saul was converted, first of all, hindi pa po siya agad-agad pumunta sa Jerusalem. He went to Arabia based from Galatians chapter 1. And in Arabia, I believe Jesus himself discipled him. For about 2 to 3 years, nanatili si Saul sa lugar po ng Arabia. Specifically in a place called Nabataean Arabia. After that, pumunta po si Saul sa Jerusalem. At first, nung nakita po ng mga Kristiyano sa Jerusalem, itong si Saul, ano nangyari? Nagulantang ang maraming mga kapatiran. Bakit? Naku, kahit 3 taon na lumipas, di ba ikaw yung mamamatay Kristiyano? So, nagtaka po sila. But, guess who? Sino ang umakay kay Saul para ipresenta po siya sa mga apostol? Guess who? Right, Barnabas! Okay? Si Barnabas. And you know what happened in Acts chapter 11? The Bible tells us that Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit, that he started to share the gospel even to the Jews. Yung mga taong sa akala nila kakampi siya, ngayon, nagpapahayag na ng ebanghelyo. And so, dahil po doon, maraming nagalit na mga Hudyo kay Saul. And because of that, mayroon po ngayong panganib sa buhay ni Saul. Jews wanted to kill Saul. And so, ang sinabi ngayon ng mga apostol kay Saul, lalo rin po kay Barnabas, Saul, magpalamig ka muna. Go back to Tarsus. Pagdating ng Acts chapter 11, kaya nga, nung si Barnabas ay nandoon sa lugar po ng Antioch at marami nang nagiging mga mananampalataya, ang Antioch malapit po sa lugar po ng Tarsus, sa may Cilicia. Akyat lang. And so, kaya nga, dito sa teksto po natin, nasaan si Saul? Nandoon sa Tarsus. Kasi pinabalik siya muna ng mga apostol because of the threat sa buhay niya. Okay? Are you with me? Nakakasunod ba kayo? And then, brethren, pagdating po dyan, so, because of so many people were added to the Lord, in Acts 11:24, Barnabas now wanted to include Saul for the work of ministry in the area of Antioch. And so, verse 25, Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And listen to this, for a whole year, they met with the church, and what did they do? They taught a great many people. They taught these brethren with the word of God. Sa madaling sabi, Barnabas and Saul discipled this church. They wanted that this church will be built up in the truth. For about 1 year, Paul and Barnabas taught the church. I believe that is the model of a growing, maturing church. We stand in the gospel, and yet we continue in the truth of God, unless God will bring us home. Amen po ba? And by the way, brethren, that is the model that we are employing in our church planting. We share the gospel, pero hindi tayo tumitigil hanggang dun lang. We follow up. We visit. We make kumusta. Magdadala kami ng bulaklak kapag Mother's Day. Kapag birthday, may cake. Kapag birthday niya, pagpipray namin sila. And pag may opportunity, okay lang ho ba? Mayroong home Bible study? At pag sinabi nila, yes, kagad-agad. Because we wanted that these people who heard the gospel will now be firm in the truth of the Word of God. That is the model of church planting, and that is what we learn from this passage. Paul and Barnabas, together, sila po ay talaga pong nagpastol sa iglesia po na ito. And they heard the word of the Lord. They heard also what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 to 2. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, shepherd the flock of God. Brethren, listen to this. The church growth and maturity is always dependent on proper feeding from the Word. Ulitin ko po. The church growth and maturity is always dependent on the proper feeding from the Word. No Word, no growth. No truth, no maturity. Jesus Himself said, "Feed my sheep." John 21, 15 to 17. Paul exhorting the young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, "Preach the word." And what are we to feed them? Anong ginagawa po ng mga pastor at mga leaders po natin? According sa Acts 20, verse 27, we preach the whole counsel of God. The whole counsel of God. This includes theology proper. How do we know who God is? Salvation? Ano ba ang kaligtasan? Ano ba ang kasalanan? Anything that comes from the Word of God, we must preach. We must preach the whole counsel of God. Because this whole counsel of God will mature a believer, will mature a church. Amen po ba, mga kapatid? And I believe also we are so grateful in our church. We have GIT. We have exposition of the Word of God every Sunday. Amen? Aren't you blessed every Sunday? The Word of God is being exposed to you. You are being led to a biblical worship. Aren't you glad that there are disciples, who could counsel you at times of confusion and even in times of sin, someone could come alongside you, pointing you about the grace of God, pointing you about the holiness of God? Aren't you glad that in our church, we are a biblical church? That means, sabi nga po diyan, di ba? We build our lives based on the truth of God. To add to this means of grace, you have your daily diet of God's Word in your devotion. We have our library full of solid books. When was the last time you borrow a book in our library? Brethren, God has faithfully granted our church every opportunity. Listen to this. God has faithfully granted our church every opportunity to grow in the grace and likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wala na po tayong rason na hindi po tayo lalago sa maraming mga bagay na ipinagkaloob sa atin ng ating Panginoon. We cannot outgive God with His compassion and generous heart for us to mature as a church. The challenge now is this: do we take them seriously? Do we come to our gathering as a family with a heart excited to worship Him, to listen to His Word? Or are we just dragging our feet, Sunday na naman, sana makapagpalabapasa na ako? Have we really committed our lives to spiritual maturity? Have we disciplined our lives in a way that we wanted to take every opportunity to grow and mature in Him through His Word? Do we ask questions to our, sa mga pastors po natin so that we would be enlightened with issues and concerns with our spiritual journey as a believer, as believers? And so, brethren, listen to me. Standing in the gospel, then maturing in the word, and lastly, there's a third point, is this. We now exhibit obedience or generosity or godliness. So the third point now is this. When the church stands in the gospel, when the church matures in the truth, ang dami na ho natin natutunan, the church ultimately responds in grace. Okay? The church ultimately responds in grace. Verse 27, Acts 11. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there would be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. And so, the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. By the hand of Barnabas and Saul. I believe, brethren, that a true church, a growing church, will ultimately respond in obedience and grace. Hindi po dapat po tayo naiiwan sa punto na o-overfed na po tayo at hindi po tayo naglilingkod o hindi po tayo nagbibigay sa Panginoon. Here, brethren, there was mentioned a prophet, the name Agabus. At that point in time, there were prophets during the early life of the church. May mga propeta, but we believe sa panahon po natin ngayon, dahil kumpleto na ang Biblia, we don't believe now that there's a what we call position or what we call office ng propeta, no? But during that time, during Paul's time, during Peter's time, during the early church time, there were prophets, and these prophets were spokespersons. They were actually proclaimers of God's truth. In James chapter 5 verse 20, listen to this: prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. So these prophets, they were commissioned to speak the name of the Lord. Sometimes we could consider them as evangelists or preachers. The apostles were used by God to pen His word. The apostles were the direct spokesperson or eyewitnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophets complement the work or the responsibilities of the apostles. And so there was a prophet, the name Agabus. So among the church, mayroong pong isang tao, ang pangalan po niya si Agabus. His name means Father's Joy, Agabus. So next time po na may anak po kayo, Agabus is Gera. Father's Joy or Feast. Tradition says that he was considered part of the 70 sent ones, sabi nila. Tradition po yon, hindi po confirmed, no? But Agabus actually was a faithful spokesperson of Christ, that even at that time, nung si Pablo ay nakakulong, he warned Paul that when he will go back to Jerusalem, he will face persecution. That is Acts 21. So basically, the responsibility of the prophets at that time is to warn the church for a particular situation. No, may mga times na umuusbong itong mga propeta, kumbaga sa panahon natin sa kanila, on call ang kanila pong trabaho po at that time. So they were not contradicting the role of the apostles, but actually they proclaimed the name of Christ. So anong sinabi po nitong si Agabus? Sabi ni Agabus that there will be a famine, no, in over all the world. Sabi po sa may verse 28, there will be a challenge. And really, no, when you look at history, this really took place in the days of Claudius. There was a famine all over the world, that is in the Roman area of authority. And because of this challenge, there was a great need now to support each other, for the church at Antioch to even support the church in Jerusalem. Remember, matindi po ang persecution sa lugar po ng Jerusalem. To the point na talaga pong namulubi po ang marami po mga kapatiran sa lugar po ng Jerusalem. And you know what? Observe what the church of Antioch did. No? They still experienced persecution. They themselves were suffering, and because of that, hindi po sila mayaman. And yet, based from our passage, sabi po ng verse 29, the disciples at Antioch determine, everyone according to their ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. Hindi po excuse dahil meron din silang mga pangailangan. Hindi po excuse dahil sila po ay dumadaan sa persecution na tipong hindi sila susuporta sa ibang mga kapatiran. And brethren, observe that po. That is a mark of a growing, maturing believer. That despite of their circumstances, they still grab the opportunity to even be a blessing to other brethren, especially in Jerusalem. Lumalago po talaga po sila. Makikita po ito sa kanila pong pagtugon sa panahon ng pangangailangan. And so they send relief to the brothers living in Judea. Look at the words of Luke. Sabi po doon, sabi po ni Luke sa may verse 29, they give according to their ability. They give according to their ability. That means they gave graciously. They knew they have need, pero alam nila may mas malawak pa na pangangailangan ang kabuuan ng iglesia. And so they gave. Not only that, the disciples, these brethren, determined. That means they were deliberate, really, to help, to send relief. Hindi lang po sila nagbigay graciously, they gave also accordingly. Coming from the heart, willing to be a blessing to other people, especially the brethren in Jerusalem. At sabi po ni Luke, they send relief. I like the word relief. The word relief means what? Comfort. Pag kayo po ay pagod na at kayo po ay kumbaga nagtatrabaho at umupo kayo sa upuan, what a relief. Di ba? That's basic idea in terms of just understanding that word relief. Some translations would say comfort. There's discomfort, there's inconvenience, there's circumstances. May problema sa Jerusalem. And the service and the blessing and the gift of the church at Antioch serve as a relief. Hindi man malaki, sigurado, hindi man ko tipong kumbaga malaking kumbaga sa tingin ho panukat ng tao, but that gift coming from a church na sila rin po mismo dumadaan sa problema, it was a comfort. Hindi po maliit. And, you know, look at the passage also. Ano sinabi po ni Luke? Sabi niya, verse 30, they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. They gave graciously, they gave accordingly, they gave lovingly, and they did so, surrendering that gift, submitting to the authority of Paul and Barnabas. That means they gave humbly. They recognize their leadership. They recognize yung authority. Binigay po nila ito sa kamay po ni Barnabas at ni Saul. Hindi yung pag nagbigay ka, bigay ko yan ah. Oh, gamitin mo yan kung ano yan. Hindi, pag nagbigay ka sa Panginoon, pagka dininisyonan ho ng ating po mga leader, that's basically part of already God's fund. God's finance. Ginamit ka ng Panginoon, pero may mga times maaring hindi po ayon, hindi po maaring parang hindi ka swak doon sa decision, but still, when you give to the Lord, and God is using the leadership of the church to manage every fund for God's glory and for our good. And when you recognize that, that's a sign of your humility before God. You gave it anyway sa gawain ng Panginoon. The point here, brethren, is this. A church standing in the gospel, maturing in the truth, will ultimately respond in generosity and grace. Hindi titigil na tayo po ay maraming alam lang at hanggang dun lang. Gagamitin po ng Panginoon bawat sapo sa atin para maging pagpapala para sa iba. And that is what happened at the Church of Antioch. There was a need, there was a famine, and yet hindi sinabi po ng Church of Antioch, eh kami rin naman, may need din kami. No. The disciples determined to give according to their ability, and they send help. They consider themselves a blessing to other brethren. Please open your Bibles in Acts 13. Malapit na po tayo. In Acts 13, hindi lamang po tulong pinansyal ang pinakita ng iglesia na ito, pagpapakita na sila ay lumalago. This church also was used by God to be now the launching pad or to be the center of the missionary effort of Paul and Barnabas. Hindi lang po sa pag-respond, this church responded in giving, but also this church responded in grace sending. Acts 13, basahin ko po. Now, there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers. And who are the leaders at that time? Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger. According to the tradition, Simon Niger is indeed a black person because the word Niger means black. So, wala pa pong discrimination ng panahon na ito. The church is a one church belonging to both Gentiles and Jews. Lucius of Cyrene. Again, Cyrene is now Tripoli, Libya. Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch. Some people say that this person, Manaen, could be the spokesperson of Herod Agrippa, kung hindi po siya naging Kristiyano. But Manaen was a believer, at sabi po, siya po ay foster brother po nito pong si Herod the Tetrarch. And of course, si Saul. So you know, you're familiar with Barnabas and Saul. Verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, that phrase, worshiping the Lord and fasting, while these men, while these leaders were actually exercising their responsibility, while they were serving the Lord, at sabi po dito, worshiping the Lord, it's a very general term, but some would say it's actually preaching the word and fasting, praying. So the responsibilities of these five men at the Church of Antioch was traced actually back in Acts chapter 6, verse 4, wherein the leaders of the church, the pastors and elders, must prioritize the preaching of the word and prayer. And so this Church of Antioch, these men were serving the Lord, they were preaching the word of God and prayer, and then the Holy Spirit said, set apart. Choose for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so this church at Antioch, at the most difficult time, they sent relief. It's an expression that this church was a maturing, growing church. Pero hindi lamang po tumigil doon. In the program of the Lord, in God's purposes, the Lord now chose this formerly pagan city to become now a gospel-sending church, a grace-sending church. They now chose missionaries from them in the person of Paul and Barnabas to fulfill God's call to send the gospel to the ends of the earth, and it happened in Acts chapter 13, in the person or in the life of this church, in the church of Antioch. The church in Antioch is a model church, brethren. Listen to me. Lapit na po tayo. The church in Antioch is a model church of spiritual growth and service. It was not a perfect church, yes, but as they navigate to live their lives in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, they became a model church of genuine faithfulness and diligent service. Brethren, as a church here in Guiding Light, we do not stop giving. We do not stop sending, because our giving and our sending is a measure of our spiritual deepening. Nakuha ba ninyo yung mga kapatid? We continue to give. We continue to support. We continue to pray. At bakit po natin ginagawa po yun? Dahil maganda lang ba ang program? No. Because that is an expression of how God is at work in your lives. And with that, we are so grateful. I believe, brethren, when we stop supporting, we stop sending, or when we stop giving, when we stop committing, there's a problem already in our hearts. Then might be we're stopped deepening. Hindi po nagbabago ang ganitong modelo. Ang Kristiyano na mas lalo hong nagiging, kumbaga, exposed sa biyaya ng Panginoon, makikita po ito sa kanya pong pagbibigay. Yan po ang modelo po. And so, brethren, the more you are confronted with God and His Word, and I believe and I affirm this is happening in our church, and with that, we are grateful to the Lord. When you are confronted all the more with who God is, ang kanyang biyaya, ang kanyang mayamang awa, ang kanyang katotohanan, and the more you will desire to be involved in His work and in His ministry. Amen. The more you are confronted with who God is, the more you will desire to be involved in His work. Let this be a warning, brethren. Listen to me. The moment we set aside His will of reaching nations for His glory, and that is when we care only of our own little spiritual personal kingdoms. The moment we look at my concern, my problem, my ministry, at nakalimutan na ho natin, there's so much work beyond our own personal agenda. Then, but doon po makikita, titigil po ang ating pong suporta, ang ating perspective sa gawain ng pag-imisyon. Brethren, we live and die. All of us, we will live and die. Amen? You will live and die. But His name and His mission will live and endure. And as a church, brethren, we stand on this commitment. Please, do not settle on your own personal, quote-unquote, growth or your own ministry. Look up to the greater one. The Church of Antioch modeled this kind of perspective. They stood in the gospel. They were matured in the truth. And eventually, they gave. They gave. By the grace of God, and we affirm, we will go to all the world with kingdom hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. And so, brethren, I would like to encourage you. I would like to plead before you. There were times na maraming confusion even in our own church. We are committed to missions. We are committed to evangelism. Because that is the pattern of church growth. That is what the Lord gave us in His Word. We stand in the gospel, we mature in the truth, at hindi tayo tumitigil po doon. We go and preach the gospel to the nations. Let us rally, brethren, to continually commit ourselves in the work of missions. Our missionaries are already at home. To update you, we are assessing, we are evaluating. Guiding Light is part of what we call Three Strands Global Association na kinreate po ng CCM churches because we still stood at that commitment that missions must be indeed our priority in the church. Our missionaries are, praise the Lord, here to stand with us, to go and to serve in wherever the church leaders wanted them to serve. Pero mga kapatid, to clear out any confusion sa inyo, our missions program are still standing. And so please support our missions program. Because that is an expression that you are growing. It is not a matter of money or funding. Pag tayo po ay sumuporta sa gawain ng misyon o sa ipagbagay-ebanghelyo, pinapakita po natin, lumalago po tayong iglesia, mga kapatid. We are growing and we are maturing. We must stand in the gospel. We must grow in the truth. We must respond in grace. Let's give, because that is an expression of our love and devotion to the Lord. I would like to end with this hymn, and I hope and pray that this will encourage you to assess and to continually commit ourselves to the work of missions in our church. There's a hymn that's written by Fanny Crosby during the time when she got blind. At hearing po the idea of going into the missions, he wrote a hymn. The title of this hymn is Rescue the Perishing. Rescue the Perishing. And it says, ito pong hymn na ito, sabi niya, Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and grave, weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor, the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer, a Savior has died. Let us continue to commit ourselves with this call. Let us tell the poor wanderer that there's a Savior who died. Let us pray. Oh Lord, salamat po sa biyaya po ninyo. Thank you, Lord God, for your word. It is a word, Lord God, indeed, that speaks about your heart for the work of reaching out to the lost, Lord. And like the Church of Antioch, Lord God, we in here in Guiding Light, you firmly planted us in the gospel. You, Lord God, taught us with many beautiful truth about you, Lord. And we pray, Father God, that we will respond, that this growth, Lord God, this knowledge, Lord God, will ultimately culminate in reaching out also to the lost, in sharing Jesus to others, Lord God. Panginoon, may mas matayog, Panginoon, na hangarin po kayo sa buhay po namin bilang iglesia. And we pray, Lord God, that we will be included, Lord God, in that plan, in that kingdom work, Lord. Yes, Father God, you care, Father God, for our own spiritual journey, Lord. You discipline us. You provide for our needs. You care for our families. But beyond that also, Lord God, there's a work, Lord God, greater than us, O Lord. And this is part, Lord God, of your kingdom work, Lord God, in the whole history, Lord God, wherein you move us forward, starting, Lord God, from the gospel, and will continue, Lord God, until that time that you will, Lord God, return, or, Lord God, we will come home. Dalangin po namin na nawa, Panginoon, isa po kami, Panginoon, sa gawain po na ito. Hindi man po kami, Panginoon, pupunta sa ibang lugar o pupunta sa isa pong mga gawain po ng pag-imisyon. Pero Lord, nag-umpisa, Panginoon, ang aming pong pagiging isa sa gawain na ito. When you change our perspective, Lord God, na ang buhay Kristiyano ay para lang sa sarili po namin, hindi po. When our perspective is changed, Lord God, by way of looking at, Lord, there's a kingdom, there's a church that you are building upon, Lord God, and we want, Lord God, to participate, may it be in prayer, may it be in giving, Lord God, may it be in supporting, encouragement, or, Lord God, when you call us to be part of the team, Lord God. Oh, Lord, salamat po. Pinupuri po namin kayo, Panginoon. Thank you, Lord God, for this reminder, Lord God, to our church. Remove, Lord God, whatever confusion, Lord God, in our church. Remove, Lord God, whatever self-centeredness, Lord God, in our church. Give us, Lord God, a heart, your heart. And that heart, Lord God, indeed is to bring, Lord God, sinners home. To reach out, Lord God, with your compassion, the lost, the poor wanderer, that indeed there is a Savior, there's a Lord. And thank you, Lord God, that at that point in time, until that day when you will tell us, not only as individuals, but also as a church, come, good and faithful servant. Salamat po, Panginoon. Pinupuri po namin kayo. Pinapasalamatan po namin kayo. Even, Lord God, as we give of our tithes and offering, thank you, Lord God, for your generosity, Lord God, to this church. Thank you, Lord God, for using this church, Lord God, for the work of missions. We are grateful, Lord God, for our brethren, Lord God, who are continually supporting, Lord God, the work of evangelism and missions, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord God, for our leadership. Thank you, Lord God, for our elders, our missions board, our missionaries, Lord God, whom you've called, Lord God, to respond to this call, O Lord. And thank you, Father God, for each family, Lord God, in this church, who are tirelessly, Lord, nagsuporta, Panginoon, sa gawain po ng pag-imisyon. Pinupuri po namin kayo. We bring you back the glory that you deserve, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Before we leave, let's just pray for Pastor Jason. Our dear God, we thank you for our dear outreach pastor that you have used today to deliver your message for us. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us that as a church, we must be grounded in your truth. Lord, first and foremost, we must be grounded in your gospel, and we will grow in your truth. Then we will be continually giving to you, supporting your work, and graciously sending people, Lord, for the furtherance of your work. Thank you for the life of our dear pastor. Thank you that you have used him today to deliver your message for us. And we pray that as you continue to use him in our outreach in San Carlos, you will continue to anoint him, that you will continue to guide him. And Lord, as you use him as part of the missions board, you will also grant him the wisdom that he needs so that our mission's direction, Lord, will come from you, that we will submit to your will, that we will submit to what you desire for our mission's work in this church. Thank you for the family also of Pastor Jason that you have brought today with us to worship you together. And Father, we just give glory to your name, that you will use their family for the furtherance of your word and your work. Thank you, Father. We bless you. And as we part ways today, we pray that you will bless us. Bless also, Lord, our time of fellowshipping in our Zone Sunday. Thank you, Father. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.